Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
So I just got off the phone with Dave Pryor. He listened to the high five and reacted to my story about how I freaked out when somebody texted me on my day off from work. And we had this conversation and he actually recorded it. So I think it's going to end up on a podcast about, we were talking about being burnt out and like just being in that place where it was like everything bothers you. So that was a fun conversation. It's fun that like little side conversations happen from this. But I also feel like I was able to approach that conversation in a way that's like, yeah, I don't feel burnout like that right now. I worked through it and beyond it somehow.
Please share your secret. Everybody wants to know.
It's all mental. I started to realize what are the things that I'm doing that are stressing me out but not moving the ball? Where should I focus my attention? And also like setting better expectations with people about your communication, which like I talk about all the time but don't do. So yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. I look forward to that. You think it's going to be a podcast?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, let's get into our huddle this week. What's top of mind?
The one-on-one playbook.
Yes.
We're launching it. You've been stressing out on your own about this. It's launched.
Cool. It's done. It is finally out. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but I'm excited that our first real official publication is out, and it's beyond anything that we've created before. So I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm excited. I think you're going to start to see it in a few different places. We're going to be talking about it all over the place, and hopefully you'll share it or buy it as well.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's get into this week's review. So no team angle topics this week. We are now kind of moving those articles over to essentially we're writing the book. Mm-hmm. There's a ton on our blog now, but we're just going to focus next. Now that this is done, we're going to start focusing on writing the book. So we're going to talk about your opinion column this week. Enough with the personal user manuals. What's it all about?
So I don't know if this is universal. But in my experience, I've seen people, posting about this on LinkedIn, there are individuals, maybe even teams that are coming up with these, quote, user manuals, to share at work. So instead of, hi, how you doing? Let's have a conversation and let's, spend 90 days trying to figure each other out and how we like to work and whatnot. People are putting this like, here's a huge document that explains who I am, what excites me, what drains me, how I like to work best, how I like to communicate. So basically taking all the relational kind of data or information and packing that into a document. And then there's simply handing that over to people and saying, hi, how you doing? Here's who I am. Read this and we'll somehow get to better outcomes from it. And when I look at that, I just feel like this is not working as intended. I think it's it backfires. It short circuits the building the connective tissue between people. And I really just think it takes away from building trust in the team. Right. It's trying to, like I said, it's shorting the experience and I don't believe that it's being productive.
I find it so weird. So I'd never heard of this. You actually sent me an example and we looked at it together. And
yeah,
while on the surface, I think it looks like a helpful thing. I think it's just strange. I think it's like, here's my Facebook page for our work together. Right. Like so impersonal.
Yes.
It's so impersonal. You are not developing a human connection through a keynote. sit down and have a freaking conversation with someone and tell them what you like, what you don't like, how you work, what your preferences are. Maybe not in that way, but what I'm saying is a conversation beats a document. And like, just ew. It's not a portfolio for how to work with me is the way I look at that.
But it's also now if I've created one and I share it with you, now there's this obligation.
Right.
Is now it's like, Brett, you need to read this, examine this so that you
And remember it
and reference it and whatever.
Yep.
But not only that, I see that there's then maybe an unwritten expectation of, oh, you don't have one? You know, you should totally create one. So I think it comes from probably some good intentions, but it's creating weird expectations of people. That's taking away from actual productive time, you know, one-on-one time. And I've had it enough. This is just, this, especially with remote and hybrid teams, I can see where that kind of information would be useful, but it also sets up for like a really great team activity.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's better ways to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for a team to have it, but for everyone to have a consistent document. Like, I've had this dream of making playing cards for my team for years. And I think that's helpful and that's good. It doesn't replace sitting down and getting to know someone and actually working with them, experiencing what it's like to work with them to understand what works and doesn't work between the two of you. Like,
yeah,
as long as people aren't replacing, you know, human interaction with another document or tool, I'm cool with it.
Right. Well, I have some questions to kind of dig deeper into this. So First one is what helps you feel understood by your teammates?
I think it's what I was saying before. It's the communication, it's the connection, right? When someone remembers how I like to work without me having to repeat it for the fifth time, because they just have taken the time to get to know me, right? Like, it's the small stuff. Like, they'll respect my boundaries. They'll loop me in because they've thought about me and they know how I'm involved in the work or where I can be helpful.
That's a good one.
Follow-up questions instead of making assumptions about what I'm thinking or saying. I think feeling understood isn't about grand gestures like sending a document that says, get me, right? Mm-hmm. It's about showing you and you showing that you are actually listening to me.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And I honestly don't have anything to add to that. But I do want to, that one thing of looping me in, remembering to come back and say, I know this thing is going to matter to you, or it's going to affect the work you're doing, something about
or
whatever
it is. Or
you'll
have a great perspective on it.
Right.
Right. Like, just that you thought about me is something that makes me want to work with you more, which sounds really narcissistic, but I think that's one of those things where that's how great teamwork happens. Getting to know the people and understanding the value that they add to the conversation that you're having or the work that you're doing.
I want to go back to that word you just used, because I don't think it's narcissistic. I think it's human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which leads into, this is a good segue into my next question, is how do you build trust without making it all about you?
Yeah, that is a good one. I think it's about asking more than telling, right? I also think it's about following through. Mm-hmm. You know, you share enough to be human, then make space for everyone else's story.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of reminds me of what we've been talking about recently, like it's not the performative vulnerability thing, right? It's consistent behavior.
Right. I'd add to that is observing. Right.
Yes.
So I like what you said about, you know, listening more than talking, but it's also doing, especially in remote settings, of doing what you can to try to observe reactions, responses, you know, to things and behavior.
Yeah. Trying to understand, actually making an effort, not just going through the motions also, right?
What's a question that we should be asking each other more often in a team setting?
In a team setting, in the realm of getting to know one another and building trust and building kind of like psychological safety. Probably a question like, is there something that you need to tell me? Or is there something that you've been holding back or something you're holding back right now? Like something that is like maybe not always easy or safe to answer, but can also shortcut to the reality of things, right? Like cutting through the passive aggressive bullshit and getting straight to like, what's actually going on in your mind? Like that creates safety. In my opinion, it builds trust.
I like that. So follow-up question then is, you can ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, and I think it's easier to ask the question than it is to provide the answer.
Yes.
And in your experience, what would you say to a leader that's ask that question and receives deadpan silence in response?
Oh, easily. I've been in this situation. I've asked people that, and sometimes there's no response, right? But I think what asking the question does is create an expectation with everyone that, hey, it's okay to talk about the stuff you don't necessarily want to talk about. So if someone says, I'm not really sure, say, that's okay. This is a big one. Feel free to think on it and come back to me. This is a conversation we can always have.
That's really good. But this is like got to be one of our best episodes ever. The questions and the answers are awesome.
Because we agree. That's the funny part.
What's the emotional or relational cost about these documents becoming the norm?
We kind of already said it, right? Like,
yeah,
if everything has to be like documented and templated and passed over and translated and read, like we're basically like trading connection for compliance, right? Like compliance to like the process of we do this thing and this is how we introduce one another. Like, it's just so strange to me. And I think the cost of doing like getting to know team members that way is silence, right? People stop. Like people stop communicating and connecting. People stop offering up ideas in the moment. And they start thinking, oh, I'll just wait for the document. Like it feels like a thing that just will move people further away from real conversations. And that's what's going to erode trust and break teams down rather than build them up.
Yeah, creates an environment of transaction rather than...
And it's like super robotic. It's anti-human almost.
Yeah, I would say it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So last question. How should leaders set the tone when it comes to sharing work preferences? Because that's what those documents, kind of at the heart of it is, you know, how here's my API. Right. So what can leaders do? What should leaders do to get the team together and build that connectivity, you know, that connected tissue?
Yeah. I just had a funny thought because it's like, well, as a leader, first of all, I'm thinking about bringing a new person onto a team. You know, like I always recommend that new person have scheduled time with every person on the team to talk to them and get to know them. Like, that first of all replaces this silly document. It's a real conversation.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, talking about those preferences early and often, and then, you know, there's also this thing where like you meet someone and maybe you're not doing material work with them, but then eventually at some point you do, and that kind of changes the relationship because the way that you relate to one another is different because you're working on a project together. And that's when you really get to know more about my rhythms and how I work and my preferences and communication. So I think it's about talking about that stuff higher level early on and then restating it when you're working together. But I had this thought about this document because it's like, I could work a certain way and I know myself to be this way. I could prefer to work one way, but then something happens and I shift the way that I'm working and I realize, oh my God, I need to make a version 2 of my document. Like, yeah. Who the F is going to go back and update their document?
Well, 2.0
or whatever. Like, the new version.
Then you
got to
redistribute it, right?
Yes. And say, yeah.
Like, I updated my document.
I know that you thought that I was working this way, but I changed my mind. I'm doing it this way. I've updated my user documentation. Like, what? No.
Yeah. Yep.
Nope.
All right. Well, hopefully we've not only put that to bed, but beat it into the ground. Like, yeah. These are not a good idea. So let's move into this week's ask. We foreshadowed it earlier. What do we want people to do?
Please buy our first playbook that is up for sale. It's called the One-on-One Playbook for Stronger Teams. We think it's the missing manual for the most crucial part of leadership, and it's the human connection. It's the stuff that we're talking about.
Yep.
This guide is going to give you, whether you are a brand new manager or a seasoned manager, it's going to give you tips from how to structure a one-on-one, why to do them, how to fix broken one-on-ones, how to create an agenda. We've got an agenda builder for a 30-minute, a 45-minute, or an hour-long one-on-one. We've got a tracker template included. Like, there's so much value in this playbook. I'm so excited about it, and I hope everyone buys it.
You know, my favorite section now is, and it's big, it's all the different kinds of personalities that you run into at work. And not just like, what about them, but how to... ways to engage them, along with example scripts, just to give you an idea of like what that conversation could be. We've also got that kind of scattered throughout the playbook of, so it's not just looking at it from a high level, but just getting an idea of what that exchange looks like. But I love that section.
Yeah. Lots of one-on-ones are tough, right? It's a tough thing. It's one that like we typically model because, you know, we had a manager who did good one-on-ones, or maybe they didn't, and we model them anyway. But this playbook, I feel like, is going to get any leader through any situation or prepare you for any situation. I love the kind of personas of the different types of team members. I think we should do that about clients next.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
So anyway.
All right.
Check out our website. The link to the playbook will be in our show notes, but it's going to be clearly linked from our website, LinkedIn, and everywhere else.
Yes. SameTeamPartners.com. You'll see the link One-on-One Playbook right there in the top. Buy as many copies as your budget will allow.
All right. Let's get into the hit list. So what are we watching, listening to, and reading, writing?
Reading, writing, doing. My first one is I just got my copy of My Darling Clementine. It's a Peter Fonda cowboy movie from 1946, and it's the Criterion Collection. It's one of the films that Bill Hader, in his second or third appearance there, he pulled it and said that was his favorite John Ford movie. John Ford being the cowboy, you know, director out there. In the desert. Anyway, when I heard him talk about it, I just had to see it, and I loved it.
I started watching those Criterion Collection videos because of you.
Yeah, they're cool.
The ones where they go in the closet and pick out movies. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My watching this week is The Long Way Round. It's on Apple TV. I don't know if you've watched Ewan McGregor's series. He did this Long Way Down, I think, many years ago. It was great. They hop on motorcycles and just go on this road trip. And
I saw the one where he did the electric motorbikes.
Yes. Yeah. I think this is the third or fourth one.
Okay.
Now they're a little bit older. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
You know, version 8 is going to be when they're on Rascals trying to drive
on a
through
cruise
the
ship.
Mall.
At Disney.
My next one is listening, and it is a cover of the Logical song by Supertramp. But the cover band is called the Greystones, and they're a bunch of kids. Oh. I don't even know how old they are, but holy cow, are they fantastic. And this song, if you go back and take a look at some of their earlier performances, you know, they're just not quite there yet. But this one that did it in particular, it hits on everything. It's awesome.
Cool. I have to check that out. I love when kids are like younger voices, like kids singing.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna
the
check
lead
that out.
singer is a girl, and she like nails it.
It's, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
This week, I'm listening to Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves. I don't know if you know that one. It's actually quite a few years old. It's her Grammy Award-winning album. It's just like really well done, and it's just fitting the mood this week at my house. So check that out. She's put out a couple albums since then, but this album's really good.
Awesome. My last one is reading. I'm still reading Abundance by Ezra Klein and Derek Thompson. And I'm liking it. The more I get into it, I wasn't quite sure, but the more I'm getting into it, it's basically calling out what we could be doing better. Hmm. And at least in the in the part that I'm in now. And anyway, it's just a really good book, nice kind of distraction from reality, but at the same time grounded in reality, right?
Cool. I have a couple links, couple last links to share, and they're writing. The first is The Deep Cut number 3. So I started a new series on my blog, and it's similar to The High Five, but basically I'm taking kind of like a theme that I'm kind of feeling that week, relating it to an intro, and then sharing a bunch of kind of like related stuff that I'm watching, reading, enjoying, whatever. I'm also spotlighting a person. I don't know if you saw, but I spotlighted you in the first one. Mm-hmm. And my dad in this most recent one, because he just retired from his job after 50 years. With the
50
same company.
Years.
That's like a whole other podcast that we could talk about. Like, how do you stay dedicated to one job that long?
Then, or why?
Right? Why is the other question. The other link that I'm going to throw in the show notes is Project Management is a Leadership Role. Start acting like it. So this is my call for PMs to be a little bit more strategic.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, let's wrap things up with the high five. What are we celebrating this week?
Well, I mean, obviously we have to celebrate our one-on-one playbook, but I'm going to say let's celebrate e-commerce, baby. All $20 we're going to make off of this. Actually, one costs more than $20. So
yeah. Well, we're creators now. I think we're officially creators.
Yeah, that's it. So high five to that. Because we've been creating for a long time, and now we finally are just recognizing it and going with it.
We just put a price on it. We just sold out. So
cool.
All right. Have a good week. Enjoy your weekend in the Poconos.
Thanks. Have a good weekend too.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and send them a review. Thank you.